Hello and welcome to Troy and Tara Watch.
Hi!
Hello!
You're Troy and I'm Tara. I feel Yay. Like we don't do that ever. We just
well,
assume.
I think people can pretty much tell.
I mean, you can't assume, Troy. You can't assume.
But
what if you were Tara and I was Troy? You never know.
I think we've said it before.
Probably.
Anyways.
Only for people who listen. Josie knows.
Josie knows.
Josie knows all.
So we are back after this is like probably about a month, yeah.
About a month.
Yeah, it's
we've seen some stuff, but we
Well, I mean, like spring kind of gets a little bit busier for us. We want to go out and do more, so we tend to slow down a little bit here.
Winter's a really good time for doing this like kind of more weekly, but it's spring now and I go outside. I was outside all day yesterday.
Well, we did still watch stuff and like to completion, I feel like is what we try to go for. There's like two main things that we're still watching that are like so close to the ending of that, you know.
We can like mention because they're going to be the next watch, basically.
Pretty much. As far as with what we're talking about today, even though that there's a lot of great movies I still want to see that are out there, like the Super Mario movie. That
would be great. We do want to watch that.
I do want to watch that. We're going to go ahead and talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons!
Honor Among Thieves. And,
and then also a really obscure, ridiculous movie that we watched just because I was not feeling great and it made me feel better. Not because we needed to watch it in any way, which was Burlesque! A movie from 2010!
Yay! That was
that Troy has feelings about, which was so funny to me.
Well, it's just how you set it up, and it's just like, you know.
It's not how I set up, it's how the movie sets it up, Troy.
But still, you painted it a certain picture. Anyways.
We'll get there. We're not there yet.
So, what we'll first talk about was the Dungeons & Dragons movie, which was very, very entertaining, enjoyable.
I loved it.
And definitely, I would recommend watching this again.
I would watch it again. When it comes out, we'll watch it here.
Yeah, if only just to catch a lot of the other like stuff.
All the D&D references that we didn't get.
I mean, not just the references, but just like there's so many jokes and so many like funny parts of this movie that was just kind of kept me laughing that I like kind of wanted to keep on hearing more of the jokes and things like that. But honestly, it was. As far as with people who either don't have knowledge of Dungeons and Dragons or do have knowledge, I think it's enjoyable.
It's still funny
across
way.
The board. Yeah,
yeah.
It was, and if you didn't like it, it's probably due to various other reasons, whether have you feeling on the source material or the actors, or you know whatever it might be. That's why I feel like I've been seeing a lot of like kind of a mixed-ish reviews of.
I don't read reviews.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's why I kind of like to at least understand, like, does my opinion still reflect a lot of the others out there and stuff like that? You know, are we missing the point on, like, certain things?
Are we missing things?
Are we missing good things? Things that we would like? Because I feel like if I maybe went into this with lower expectations or something like that, not that I had high expectations for this either.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, you know, the previews all looked really funny. Everything that I've seen leading up to this has all looked really good. And I was excited to go see it in theaters, which we hadn't gone to a theater movie in quite
while.
Some time, too.
Yeah,
so this was
for my dad's birthday, so the beginning of February.
Yeah.
Actually wasn't that long ago.
No, I mean, but this was at least a movie that was interesting enough for us to go out and watch.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because you want to see the Mario movie in theaters, and I feel totally indifferent to seeing that in theaters. So this movie I wanted to see in theaters.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember watching the original D&D movie when I was little, and I liked it, but I was little, and I don't think I would like it now, but I also don't remember anything about it. So it was like fully not memorable enough for me to, and I also hadn't played any Dungeons and Dragons or like listened to podcasts about it. It was like not, it was still like back then it was still like nerdy things.
It wasn't, well, yeah, it's, one, it wasn't really,
it didn't come back into popular fashion until that show, Stranger Things. Like it just fully brought D&D back into
everyone was
pop culture.
And
even though it had been running this whole time, it never stopped.
Yeah, and so it was a kind of, like, how are they going to handle it? They don't want to make fun of it too much, but also want to have fun with the source material.
And also, it's humorous.
The, well, yeah. The,
D&D can be humorous.
Well, with the one that you did see was very devoid of humor. It was all very serious and serious. Like, you know, high risks and stakes and things like that. And this one was like, if you imagine a little bit kind of like a heisty movies.
Oh, I
know
love
it's like heist. Yeah, I know it says Honor Among Thieves, and that's essentially what this is. I mean, is like a heist movie where they're trying to steal stuff on, you know, different different ways. Like, we need to steal this to get this to get this.
It was very
deedy
because it was like jumping. Like, well, we have different to move, campaigns. Different campaign. Well, it was like one campaign and all the different things in each campaign you have to do to get to the end goal. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That was really
well,
funny.
Well, in case you're, like, now needing to know, what is this movie? How are we, like, why are we enjoying it? Mm-hmm. So, the plot of this movie is a charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a lost relic, but things go dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people.
Oh, that's so vague.
Yeah, that's vague.
But
that's
a good amount of
you know,
vague.
Hey, if it's, like, you know, obviously in the title, Dungeons and Dragons, so you should already kind of have the association in it.
Dungeons and Dragons.
If you don't already know, you might know someone who is.
D&D, I feel, is through line pop culture now.
Yeah.
It's basically tabletop.
I mean,
role-playing game. There's podcasts where you can listen to people do it. It's great.
Now,
it's very funny.
The cast of the movie, I think, was also a really good pick. I think they all filled out the roles perfectly. Mm-hmm. You have Chris Pine, who is the main protagonist, Edgin. And then you have Michelle Rodriguez, who plays Holga. And then, for some reason, even he's billed third, even though he was not in it as much,
Rene Jean Page. Yeah,
so,
he was not in it as much as I was hoping. But
yeah.
His character was on point, hilarious every second he was on the screen. I just wish he was on the screen more.
Yeah.
Because he was so good.
There is a part that I want to bring up to you in our little fun facts thing.
Okay, cool. I'm ready for that.
Also, we have Justice Smith as Simon, and Sophia Lillis as Doric, and Hugh Grant as Forge. Also, Daisy Head was Sophina, who was the Red Mage. So, anyways.
Yeah, she was great.
So, those are some of the highlights, and I think, especially Chris Pine, I think he had just a blast shooting this movie.
Yeah.
He seemed to just
it seemed like everyone was just having fun.
Yeah, that's what I could definitely tell. It just everyone was having fun, just making little quips and
just
quotes,
popping around,
and
being their little characters.
Not trying to be like, oh my gosh, everything is out on the line, and
everything's very,
you know,
serious.
There are you know, some of those moments, but everything is cut through with, you know, a good sense of humor and fun.
I was really worried it was going to be one of those movies where all of the good jokes are in the trailer, and it's not at all. Like, there are very, very funny jokes. Hold on. A cat's being a menace. I might put her.
Yeah.
Okay, she moved.
Yeah, so there are a lot of great jokes that, you know, don't feel like they're being too forced upon, because, the trailers did a lot of selling for this to make sure that it's like it had a good set tone for what they're trying to pull off.
And the trailer tone and the show and the movie tone are accurate. And I was like, so in the trailer they had the pudgy dragon. They call it his it's labeled Pudgy Dragon.
Yes.
And I love the pudgy dragon. Mm-hmm. And we saw it in the trailer and I was like, I'm in love with that pudgy dragon. And then we saw it in the movie in its longer scene. Still in love with the pudgy dragon. I desperately want, like, a plushie that is that pudgy dragon, but the plushies that they have put out are terrible, and I hate them. So I'm like, do I need to learn to sew to make my own? Well, I know how to sew, but, like, learn more skills. I can sew a line. I can sew an item.
Maybe they do that squishmallow of
one. A squishmallow of it would be perfect, but that's not what they have. They have, like, it's like, the dragon is pudgy, and the plushie you have looks, like, firm. I want it to be soft. I know, I'm going on a side quest.
Going on a little bit of a rant. So,
I have feelings about the plushie.
Anyway, so we went over the plot synopsis, we went over the cast. Clearly we're gushing over saying we'd watch it again and
do
all the other things. I think at this point, go watch it if you haven't seen it already. But it is... a little bit on the longer side, so I can kind of get some of those aspects. It's about 2 hours and 14 minutes, so it is something where you are, you know, sitting down for a good little bit of time, but it is definitely worth the whole experience. It was honestly not, I didn't feel like there was really a slow part throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and I also didn't feel too long when we were watching it. Like, I think towards the end I was like looking at my watch like, what time is it? But it was not that long.
This is also directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein, and they were writers on Freaks and Geeks, I think.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I did like Freaks and Geeks.
So, yeah, so this was a little bit of a reunion for a few of them. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, this was I think kind of the point now where we can get into spoilers and have all of that kind of all of that explanation, but mostly I think with this focus, because there's, I mean, as far as like spoilers, there's
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah, like they're going on a mission.
It's a pretty, it's very straightforward. Cut and dry. Yeah, you kind of know where it's gonna end up.
Yeah,
and it's not
the good guys are not gonna lose at the end of this movie is what we're trying to tell you.
Exactly. Like the what
it's just like how it goes about.
What are the risks really about, type of thing.
Yeah.
So but yeah, it plays a lot of familiar story beats. Mm-hmm. It's really the dressing of D&D along with it and the very humor and self-referential things that they do that make it
really
so much better and an enjoyable 2 hours, and everyone again just does their role of you know, their character
really
to a T.
Yeah,
like it's not too campy or like, oh my gosh, they're like really hamming it up. It's or they're like, oh, they're just like not taking this seriously at all. It's all just balanced really well.
Renee Jean Page was hamming it up in like a good way, in like a very. Yeah. I loved it. I loved Renee Jean Page's character.
Yeah,
he was so like just, on point. So funny.
Yeah,
we were all funny. Everyone was so good.
So we're gonna and I'm sorry if you occasionally hear there is a purring cat.
Purrs. It's like aggressive purrs.
Yeah, she in does my this. Lap. So
she does this.
This is what we do. Now. There are, as you would expect, a lot of, like, Easter eggs and things that you can find throughout this whole movie. Yeah. So I'm not going to get into a huge amount of things.
You can't do a whole list. It would be impossible. Exactly. But you can, like, hit some highlights, like the cube.
Yeah. Well, yeah, some of the highlights when they are in the maze and they're trying to get through all of that. There are, if you noticed, characters that were very brightly colored, and they clearly looked like they were from a certain thing. That those were characters from the animated series of Dungeons and Dragons. You can see in the maze. There's Hank the Ranger, Diana the Acrobat, Eric the Cavalier, Sheila the Thief, Presto the Magician, and Bobby the Barbarian.
Nice.
So they
we
were
didn't
all
watch that show, so I don't know.
Didn't watch it.
I didn't see any of those. But, well, I saw the characters, but I didn't like they were.
I think that the best few things I want to highlight here, and this is definitely a major spoiler thing.
Okay.
Yeah, this is way past that. Is the cameo of Bradley Cooper?
Oh, I think was
probably one of the best things that was played so seriously, and yet it was so fucking ridiculous and so funny.
Yeah.
Just to see Michelle Rodriguez like three times the size of Bradley Cooper sitting in like a tiny little chair and just like having this really big
very
heart
serious,
to heart.
Like, this is why we're separated.
This is why our relationship failed.
This is why I am Bradley Cooper. I am very, whatever like his people are, they're very small and like fairy size, so tiny.
Yeah.
And she is giant, so she's giant compared to everyone. Like, even compared to the human, she's, like, the biggest one of them, if, other than maybe height-wise, what's his face.
She was only a little bit bigger than Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. I think Renee Jean Page is the only one taller than her.
Yeah.
Like, she's the same height as Chris Pine. At least it looked like it.
But his was
she's
probably
much more muscular and stronger than him. I love Michelle Rodriguez.
His was probably one of the best cameos that came out that
funny.
I think was a complete surprise.
Just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So funny.
absolutely.
And I like also didn't recognize him at first. You had to tell. I was like, who is that? You're like, Tara, it's Bradley Cooper.
I was like, that is so that Bradley is
Cooper. Absolutely Bradley Cooper.
You're like, no, it's not.
Like, it is. Oh, it is. It just like barely looked like him. It was so funny.
Also, I think we definitely noticed this quite a few times, but there are three homages to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The first of which is the beginning, the prison scene. With the cage and backing it in, and stepping away, and then
someone accidentally gets fucking killed because they fucked it up.
Definitely.
So it was like literally the exact same. Yeah. It was wild. They were all like very direct, exactly the same homages. Because the next one was the
pudgy dragon and the shot for shot of trying to
pull someone out while the dragon's. Yeah. It was the what's the girl's name in Jurassic Park?
Lex.
Lexi, like having to be pulled up in the raptor, jumping up to grab her feet. It was that exact thing, but with the pudgy dragon.
Yeah, the pudgy dragon. I was like, once that like whole scenario started happening, I was like, oh, that's great. And I was like, all right, that's already like two Jurassic Park references.
And then there was the third one that you saw.
Yeah, and then the third one was when they're in the maze and the one guy tries to kill and then realizes that he was being played by someone else.
So it can mimic itself. So he's looking at the mimic and then the real one's right behind him. Very clever girl-esque. Doesn't he even say something like clever? He doesn't say clever.
He doesn't say it, but it was very much like that. Just kind of like
he said something, but maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm just mixing up with Jurassic Park. But the clever girl scene is so good.
Was definitely what got me as well too. This wasn't in the things, but I definitely noticed it, and I'm pretty sure once I go back and rewatch it, I will spot it out again, which is when they are first trying to like get the treasure and they're all like the original group of thieves together.
Uh-huh.
And there's like an overhead shot of them going into a treasure room type of thing. But from that shot, it is very much a outline of a penis.
I think it was just the way the thing was set up. But you,
I don't know. I will watch it again to definitely do that. But there's like it felt like a very distinct imagery there that was like trying to like be subtle, but also just kind of like that's how D&D is at times. It does make kind of like dick jokes and things like that.
I guess it just depends on the players, probably.
Just depends.
Yeah.
So, this was what was it? I think what made this work more than anything else was that it kept on giving you different locations to go through and just like have a new fun experience in each little one, even though they're kind of like they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to steal something.
Yeah, that's what they do. It's called Honor Among Thieves. They're thieves. That's what they do. They steal stuff.
But it's like still each one is played out differently, like where they tried to have the fake Chris Pine plane and then that bell starts spinning. That was funny. Creepy. I will say that was hilarious.
I loved it.
Yeah, that one was a bit so much. And then when they have what's his name? Leaves the group and like he just keeps walking. Do you think how's he gonna get around that boulder?
Oh, and then he jumps off. Oh, Renee.
Yeah, he just walks over the boulder. He just walked over the boulder.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was improvised.
Oh, was it the boulder thing?
Oh, the whole thing was improvised.
So good. I love that.
So like there are those moments where it's just like it's literally self-referential that's realizing it has its ridiculous moments, but can laugh at itself and.
So I would
easily say go watch this again and hopefully this will lead to another one. Like I would
definitely watch another one even with different characters, just like different D&D campaigns. I would watch it if it's the same world and everyone's still kind of ridiculous, doesn't take itself seriously. This could be they could franchise this. D&D's been around for a long time. There's a lot of it. They could do a lot of stuff and it was really funny.
I think this was handled really well, even after with, like, there's, I think, at least one or two changes of directors and delay because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, this shot in, I think, like, 2020, 2021.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, right around pandemic times and things like that. So, Yeah, it was an accomplishment, and the fact that they got it out, and
that it's really good, that I'd watch it again.
Yeah, and the timing I think was perfect, because man, they I think had a lot to worry about, especially with all the Avatar that just came out Mario. Like very very small window where this could really succeed and get noticed, and so I hope people want to go see it again and everything like that. Yeah. So
I read a subreddit fan theory where someone said, so Chris Pine's supposed to be a bard.
Yeah.
And I read this fan theory that's like, he's not a bard because bards use magic with the music, and he doesn't have magical abilities. He's a cleric or a rogue or whatever. I think a rogue, which is like a thief. So he's like, he's the fan theory is like, he's not really a bard.
he's a pretending to be a bard.
Yeah. Or he just likes music. You can be just like a person who likes music. But he doesn't use his, like, the point of it's a bard is like, that you're using your music for something.
Your team.
Yeah. Like, you're not just like, I'm just coming along and I sing and that's it. Yeah. Like, no. There's more. So I think that is an interesting fan theory.
I feel like if this was like an overall campaign, this would kind of be like how the Dungeon Master would be like Chris Pine, and then everyone else is kind of like along with him in the group.
Yeah, because he's the ideas person. Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, so I don't know, but anyways, I think that this was an easy recommendation for anyone that just wants to have a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. So yeah, right. Don't have to think about it too hard. Just now, fun.
One thing that we do have to think about long and hard is burlesque.
I was gonna say the opposite. Another one we don't have to think about is burlesque, but you have a lot of thoughts about burlesque.
Yeah.
I put it on because I was like, I can't remember why I felt terrible that day. I don't know if I was emotionally terrible or I just was like tired. But you're just like, hey, normally we pick things to watch together.
I felt like it was the same night we watched that. Anyways, I know they were very close together.
Yeah, they were really close together.
And that's what we're going to do. But so I've never seen burlesque, and you loved it.
I loved it at the time, and I watched it in theaters when it came out. Like, I loved it. I like the music, and I like the dancing, and Christina Aguilera and Cher.
So did the director, apparently. So... The singing and the dancing.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he cared about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But, what was clearly a movie of its time, which was only a decade ago.
It was 13 years ago, and it is clearly 13 years ago. Yeah. We'll get there. So let me do my little... this movie is a drama music musical. It is... Small town girl ventures into Los Angeles and finds her place in a neo-burlesque club ran by a former dancer. It's a very apt description of this movie.
This is kind of like the closest thing that I could relate it to that I've seen repeatedly was Coyote Ugly.
It's very Coyote Ugly, which I saw one time. It's Coyote Ugly-esque.
And I could probably watch that one again. It would probably be less creepy guy.
I seriously doubt that, Troy. I was like,
could I really
Coyote Ugly is older than this movie. I seriously doubt that it has less creepy guy. It probably has the exact same amount of creepy guy.
You know, it mirrors a lot of what this movie was. So,
we'll get there. So let's look at the cast. Cast is Cher as Tess. Christina Aguilera as Allie. Marcus as Eric Dane. McSteamy for anyone who watches Grey's Anatomy. Jack is Cam. This Sig and... You need to tell me how to say this last name. Sigandit? I don't know how to say it.
Gignadent? Gignadent?
I don't know. He was in the OC as the guy who probably is the reason Marissa's dead. I don't know.
Oh, spoilers. Jeez. Wow.
Whatever. He was also in Twilight as the bad guy. He's really good at playing the bad guy, which is going to be relevant to Troy later. Alan Cummings is in it briefly. Periodically, which is, I think, since his role in Cabaret on Broadway is apropos. Mm-hmm. He's the door guardian. Let's see here. Peter Gallagher, and then Kristen Bell, and then finally Stanley Tucci. Classics. Perfect. No notes. let's see. What else is there about this movie? So this movie, do you want to go on your spiel, or do you want me to do trivia first? What do you want to do? Do you want to go on your rant?
Well, I guess we should go into the general, like, plot. What
is the vibe of this movie? So this movie is basically just, so Christina Aguilera, she's a great singer. We know this because she's Christina Aguilera. She goes into this burlesque club where it's just about dancing. Like, the girls don't sing. They lip sing and dance to classic songs. And then she's such a good singer that she gets to sing, and they change the entire vibe of the show. That's what this movie is Christina Aguilera is a good singer. That's it. And you know,
that's pretty much,
that's the plot of the entire movie, is Christina Aguilera is a good singer. Yeah. And we're gonna make this club, because
she was hot at that time, and that's like, this is gonna make money, plus like we got Cher in there, so it's like, okay, cool, this is all gonna just make money.
Yeah, and apparently it didn't.
I saw what they did, and yeah, it wasn't, it like was in the way that you're saying it, was there's guys that work at the club, and that this one guy who eventually takes pity on her is going to be the good guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so it's classic 2010 good guy is kind of an asshole situation.
It's kind of like the girl shouldn't fall in love with him. She kind of has the power over that relationship a little bit, but not really. It's an illusion.
At first thinks he's gay, so she gets kicked out of, or she has nowhere to live. I don't remember. And she goes to like stay at his house because it's pouring rain, and she's like has nowhere to go, and she thinks he's gay. And then when she finds out he's not and has a fiance, she's like, okay, I'm gonna leave. And he's like, it's pouring rain and you are homeless, so you're gonna stay here. Like, but it's in that, like, I'm gonna pick you up and bring you into the house kind of against your will, but also it's pouring rain and you shouldn't be, and you're homeless, like, please stay at this house. But in the
what's gonna go on.
Like, you have no choice. You're staying here, and then she's sleeping on the couch, and then at some point, she takes over the bedroom. It's like a whole thing. But he sleeps on the couch, and they have this like weird, like, I don't know. Anyway, the point is that he's clearly who she's supposed to end up with.
Yeah. Go on your rant. That's what the track is clearly supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you are signing up. Like, he's the good guy.
Yeah.
And there's clearly two guys that she is interested in with eventually in this course of the movie, is one guy who's very rich and is giving her a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. That's McSteamy.
But is ultimately looking to buy the property.
The club. He wants to buy the club and build something there. Like, he
therefore,
wants to take
the bad guy.
So he's the bad guy. Yeah.
He's the bad guy. He wants to take the club away from them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you have the bartender who works there.
Yeah.
Who is very much trying to portray the good guy.
Well, he has a fiance, so they're not dating. He's not cheating on the fiance. He has a fiance. She's just staying there, but he's clearly like falling in love with her.
The fiance is not there. Why again?
She's in New York, I think, doing theater. Yeah, she's working.
Yeah, working. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Making a life for them. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Cool. So, in this scenario where it starts coming to a head and she has to try and start making decisions between the two, ultimately there is a night where her and waiter guy have a few too many drinks. And even then it didn't seem very consensual. But they were giving each other
eyes.
Flirty vibes. I get it.
And they've been having looks the whole time. They clearly, mm-hmm. It is very obvious they both have feelings the whole time. This is not a
mm-hmm.
trick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he was also, it seemed, in a very inebriated state.
They were both in a high emotional state.
Yeah.
He
was inebriated. He was already a few drinks in. And
are you talking about in the apartment when he fully just walks out?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Stripping? No, I'm talking about, when he comes out with a full member. You know, just pretty much doing the whole naked man test. It's like, 50-50.
What?
You know, if you're completely naked, 50-50 chance it's either going to go horribly wrong or you're going to get laid.
Oh, you mean the thing from How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
It's a whole thing in How, a whole episode
exactly.
in How I Met Your Mother.
So that's essentially what happened. And then
She's giggling the whole time. So she thinks it's funny.
And she knows about the fiance.
Okay, the thing was, okay, this is not how the rant is going. You're just like describing steps of the movie. That's not what's on.
I know.
So
The rant was more about like, this guy who is clearly in a relationship, a very serious relationship.
They're engaged, but also you haven't even seen this girl because she's been in a fucking other state for the entire time.
And that gives you plenty of okays to...
And they had a whole conversation where he's like...
I broke up.
Yeah, well, they like clearly like are having problems.
We took a break.
No, it's not we took a break. It's like, I'm gonna, like, they had a, I know that, like, later she's like, we broke up. And she's like, you think you break up with a girl like me over the phone? He was fully under the impression that he broke up with her. And she's like, you can't break up with me over the phone. This is bullshit. Yeah. So they just had a different idea of what happened.
So that was anyway, not the point a clear
is
the relate.
Okay, the point of this is this is not the rant. Okay, now how do I have to explain a rant? Okay, this is what it is. The rant is that the whole time you're like, wait, so who is the bad guy? And I'm like, the McSteamy guy is the bad guy. And you're like, why is he the bad guy? He wants to give them a bunch of money where they can just go open another club.
Yeah.
Why is he the bad guy for wanting to get them out of debt?
Yeah.
And give them money get them out of debt, and then they can go open a whole other club. Like, the whole point is that,
like, we're not gonna have enough money and struggling, even when they do get, like, more people there. It's still like, we're still, like, barely here.
It's like, no matter what, even if this guy wasn't here trying to buy the club, they didn't have enough money to keep the club open. The bank was gonna take it. Like, there was no way that they were gonna survive.
Yeah.
And this guy was coming to give them money. Mm-hmm. And then this guy, I can't remember, Cam, I don't remember the character name, his Cam, last name I can't pronounce. He's like, just kind of being like a dick, and like, but like, they clearly have feelings for each other because he's hot and works at the club. And that's basically it. And you're like, how is he, he's been a dick so in every moment of this. How is he the good guy? I'm like, he just is, Troy. And you're just.
But it's the guy that ultimately is like, oh, I broke up with my fiance over the phone when, again, as a fiance, I would be in agreement. I'm like, oh, you are not going to break up with me over the phone.
In one line.
We are going to have a conversation when I get back here. Yeah. So there shouldn't have been any sort of confusion on his part of just like, okay, I'm done. That was a great conversation. No. No, you do not assume that you're...
Your fiance okay to sleep with someone else now.
Yeah, like that is a long talk that you have to have with the other person where you actively both agree that we are separating.
I mean, you don't have to actively both agree. One of you can just be like, "We are broken up now." If the other one's like, "I don't agree," it doesn't matter. Like, I want to be broken up.
But at this
it's
point,
fine.
At this point, it is.
But they
very clearly defined. He should have been way more communicative with his fiance.
The lines weren't the fiance. Then again, he hasn't seen in months because she's been in New York for months.
Okay.
That's not the point. I am
making money for a wedding. Yeah.
She's making him get a roommate because she's not paying any of their bills. She's not making money for them. She's making money for herself.
So, anyways.
And that's not the point. We're not shitting on her. I want to explain that. She's just living her life being a fine... Like, she's just living her life. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Like, the point... Like, whether
the
they broke...
Was,
with this is not friends where it doesn't matter where they broke up or not. The point
the,
is
the,
that,
the good
like,
guy was in a very gray area.
Is in a gray area.
And the
you're just
bad
like,
guy was in also a gray area where he wants to just
help
them.
We spent way too much
them.
Time on this. I know.
I don't care.
This is
what you wanted.
I know. Your rant was just like, this guy's just trying to help them. They can just open another club somewhere else. He's going to get them out of debt and give them a shit ton of money. How is he the bad guy here?
Exactly.
Which
like,
is
as long
really
as he,
funny to me.
As long as he doesn't like end up with the relationship with Christina Aguilera, then you know,
then
that's
it doesn't
fine.
Matter.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to happen any other way.
Oh,
he was like, you know, let me just get you out of debt.
Yeah.
Start anew, like the way you can, as best as you can, and I think getting some rebranding, that would be great for you. Like, this whole club was just established as like, oh, well, you know, they don't really sing, they just kind of do that, and it just started like, you know, now they're like starting to pick up,
pivot,
do it as a brand new thing, you're gonna have a brand new space, you can like customize it the way you need to, like, they're only saying like, oh no, it's like, you know, we've been here forever, and like, it's, you know, the evil corporation guy is gonna come over and take over our building, and and then he's gonna build like an apartment building here, and then people are not gonna be able to see the ocean, and it's gonna be really sad.
Oh no, that's like, not that, what that the burlesque people don't care about. That the burlesque people are using the rich apartment people next doors.
Yeah.
They don't want that, so they're just using that to convince them to buy air rights and then buy their debt down, so they still don't have the debt anymore, but also you still don't have money to pay your bills. No,
exactly.
I don't know. Anyway, I love this movie. The songs, I like this movie for the songs.
It was complicated.
And the dancing, not the plot.
Yeah.
The plot isn't medium. I don't care about that. I want
to,
I like
even
the opening.
Even according to Cher, it was pretty
Oh
bad.
Yeah, I can get into my trivia. But also, the opening of this, it just opens with just Christina Aguilera's just beautiful voice singing the Sometimes I Have a Good Feeling, which you then manically had to try and find.
Yeah, because it was part of Avicii.
Yeah, it was an Avicii part of an Avicii song. They were like, I didn't realize it was, I guess, not Avicii, but I was like, yes, yeah. I knew this was, and this is also a cover Christina Aguilera is singing. Like, she's not the original singer of this either.
Oh yeah, no.
So it's just like, clear, it's a different song. It's so, anyway, it opens with that. It's beautiful. I love it. Cher song. Cher has two songs. Amazing. Oh, her voice is so good. I love Cher. Just looking at Cher, she's beautiful. Also, some of my fun facts about Cher are, this is the first musical she's ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
She's acted in a lot of stuff, but never a musical.
And I think this was probably the last thing she's been in.
She acted in it? Might be.
For a while, at least. Because I do not remember her being in really anything else after this.
I'll have to look it up, but that's not my
She wasn't in Moulin Rouge.
No, why would she?
Which I always confuse, because it's burlesque and Moulin Rouge, I always confuse
mix
those two.
Them. Oh. Yeah. Let's see here. Most of the flamboyant costumes worn by Cher were her own clothes, of course. Some of which were designed by her longtime friend Bob Mackie. Let's see here. The photo of Christina Aguilera with her mom that she carried is really Christina Aguilera and her real mom, because of course. Cam Mann, whose last name I can't pronounce, learned how to play the piano specifically for this movie because he plays the piano a lot in it. Oh, the director was Steve Antin. He got the idea for the film after watching Christina Aguilera perform as a featured vocalist for the Pussycat Dolls in 2002.
This was wholly centered around Christina Aguilera, and you really knew that.
Yeah, it was absolutely her movie. I learned from these fun trivia facts that most of the female stand-in dancers, this is where I learned this fact, most of the stand-ins for the female dancers in the performances of the club were actually former members of the Pussycat Dolls, which was, before a pop being a pop group, a Las Vegas burlesque troupe. That they, and then they became a pop group. Yeah. I only knew them as from the pop group.
Yeah, and then that also crashed and burned.
Oh, it absolutely did, because they weren't good.
Well, there is other reasons, but that's not what we're going to get into.
No, I didn't know that, because I did not follow
but,
that.
I think that kind of brings us almost to the end. I don't know how many more things you wanted to cover.
There's only a couple.
I think the Cher thing.
Cher, keep on bringing up. Cher stated that she felt that she could have, this could have been a much better film, pinning the blame on the writer-director, and quote, terrible director, really terrible director, and really terrible script. I remember him saying to me, I don't care what you say, I just want you to shoot the dance numbers.
I do.
And then she added, it had it been shorter, it would have squeaked by and been a good popcorn movie.
I mean, I do like Stanley Tucci's character, and
Ellen
Cumming's character as well, too.
Yeah, he was just popped up here and there, but it was great.
Those were, I think, and I'm clearly, like, I'm pointing out all the guys in this movie that's mostly centered around women, so.
Yeah.
You know, that's what.
That's
but,
what you.
Like,
that's what the men folk do, Troy.
It's what the men folk do. but it was even Kristen Stewart.
Bell.
Kristen Bell, excuse me.
Kristen Bell's character. I love Kristen.
Yeah.
She was great. She was great at being such a huge dick this entire thing. It's so good.
I did like her rants and little things.
Let's see here. Despite rumors, Aguilera and Cher got along well and actually became friends. So apparently there were rumors that they did not get along, but I'm glad that they did. Let's see here. There's something else that's very funny down here that was interesting. No, that's not actually interesting. Where I have to find it, which I'm annoyed. There is a Wilhelm scream in this. It occurs in the last seconds of the final number, Show Me How You Burlesque. It's the last sound heard as the screen blacks out as the film ends as a Wilhelm scream, which I do not remember.
No, that's weird.
That's hilarious to me.
It's very odd.
I think that's all the interesting. There's probably more fun facts. Oh, I didn't think about that. That Cam and Peter Gallagher, who's in this as Cher's ex-husband, fighting to let them buy the club.
We're both on
We're both on the OC.
No,
yeah.
I knew that.
All, that's all that's in there. I could read more. There's probably more. Oh my god.
Nah,
all they're all just all the different people considered for the roles of people, which is a lot of them.
We're not gonna do that.
Holy crap.
What we are gonna do is just a little bit of a preview of what we've been recently watching and actually coming up near the end of pretty soon.
For sure.
No, both.
Both.
Yeah. So first off is gonna be season 3 of Mandalorian. Which I've been enjoying. There's been kind of like some people who have been like, not sure.
It's definitely been a lull compared to the other seasons, yeah, but I still enjoy it.
Yeah, it's definitely sticking to a major one-through story plot line rather than whereas kind of before it seemed a little bit kind
in
of
season
like
season one,
adventure.
It was definitely more like jumping from planet to planet, kind of solving their problems, and this one's definitely more of a focus, and the Mandalorian is kind of less Din Djarin and more Bo-Katan, which I'm okay with. It's the Mandalorian, not Din Djarin.
Well, that's what people are starting to like get a little bit upset about now. Well, it's just like, you're doing this and I don't like it.
Well, it's called the Mandalorian. It's not called Din Djarin.
Get used to it.
The Mandalorian can be anyone they want to focus on who is Mandalorian that season. And he's still in it. Yeah. And so is the baby. Yeah, so, relax.
The baby.
So, chill your roll. We'll get there when we get there.
So, that one is closing up here pretty soon.
And the other one I'm very excited about is Great Expectations.
Great Expectations. We'll have a lot to cover on that one next week. Because, it's classic literature by Charles Dickens.
Well, this is the first classic literature-like thing that you read in high school and probably did not read.
I mean, it's one that sticks in my mind and for particular story beats.
I did not have to read Great Expectations. I read other shit. Because there's so many options, and your teachers get to pick which ones you read.
Exactly.
And we did not do Great Expectations.
Remember Catcher in the Rye?
I did not do Great Catcher in the Rye either. Thank the Lord. Because, I would have lost my mind having to do Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, it was.
Or Lolita. Yeah.
But, Great Expectations is currently coming out on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's a Hulu original.
It's Hulu, and it's great. I have feelings about it, and I cannot wait for the last episode.
Yeah, we have, I think the main highlight of it is Olivia Colman plays Miss Havisham.
So good.
The casting of this has been really good. I've been enjoying all the through of everything, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I don't want to give too much away, obviously, because
we still have the
very last one.
Yeah.
But
and
like,
I somehow have not been spoiled on. I like the reveal of the reveal things happened, and I had no idea, and I was very excited. So I don't want whatever's in the last episode to also be spoiled. So I'm very excited. The fact that this 100-year-old novel has been spoiled for me is honestly a miracle, because I know like I know the Jane Eyre thing, like I know the spoilers for things because they're classic novels and people talk about them, but like this one somehow just passed right under my radar. No information about Great Expectations. Didn't even know that like classic like Mish Havisham stereotype was from this novel. I had no fucking idea when we started watching it. Like I knew the name, just like, you know, like names from classic literature,
but now I
know
you can put
the
name to the face, and
it's fucking great.
It's great,
and it's so good. I'm loving
it.
I
think
very
it's worked really well as a little mini series. Each episode's about an hour length, and there's about six episodes.
Six. I assume the next one's the last one.
Yeah, it very much seems like that.
I don't know what else
the,
I could put in there.
Sixth episode will be airing April 22nd, so pretty soon.
Next week.
And we'll have our full breakdown review of that and the fun that we had while watching it. What I remembered.
Yeah,
and
when your memory ends. Like, I
remembered
like,
up
this and then ends. And well,
this
sure.
actually.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
I'll be looking up book to movie comparisons or book to show comparisons once it's over. Yeah. I will be looking up the comparisons because I'm never going to read it.
And then,
not reading this book. It's so long.
Yeah, and then I know that currently, I mean, there's so many things that are still going on because there's Ted Lasso that we're still watching. Yellow Jackets that we've started to pick up again too. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that we are like still in the process of watching, still have to kind of like talk about, and you know, being off a month. This was kind of like, I think 2 weeks ago is when we saw this.
Yeah, we watched the Dungeons & Dragons movie like right when it came out.
Right when it was
coming
out.
Yeah, we still watched the Mario movie.
So
so many things we have to watch.
So yeah, there was a little bit of delay, but I think this was a great episode to have and bring people back into what we were watching, and highly recommend that Dungeons and Dragons, mm-hmm. and for shits and giggles, burlesque, why not?
I guess. Yeah,
see how it holds up.
You don't need to. Does it hold up? No. Is the singing good? Yes. Are the musical numbers good? Absolutely. Yeah. Do you watch it for the story? No.
No.
No. You watch it to hear Cher sing two songs, the second of which is just heartfelt and also directly what's happening. Like, she's just singing about her feelings about what's happening, and it's so good. And it's beautiful. It's ridiculous, and I love it.
Don't pay attention to the shitty storyline.
The shitty men hanging out. Don't pay attention to them.
I mean the men that want to do things like buy property.
Yeah, fuck them.
And
Troy,
and
we hate capitalism.
And in marriages.
House. We hate capitalism in this house.
We must end marriages.
I mean, they are marriage and unrelated.
And on that note, I thank you all for listening. Yeah. Follow us on Spotify, and that's how I can see a lot of the stats here.
We're ending this podcast 11:11.
Yay! I wish everyone would still listen and share this podcast.
Yay.
How about that?
Oh, yay! What a good wish!
Yay! Keep listening. We'll try to put these out as regularly as we can. Stick around and see what we talk about. Stop laughing at me. That's not funny.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at a text I just got.
Okay. Well, on that note, I guess we could say bye.
Bye.